So the Lord bless you. Get your Bibles. I want you to turn to the book of John. We're going to stay a little bit in the book of John. And I want to talk to you about peace in 2020. Because we are in such a day of turmoil and unrest on every side. In fact, last night we heard about the shooting. And we're seeing rioters out there in Pennsylvania, all over the place, looting, and it showed them stealing big TVs and everything. I mean, it's just total civil unrest. So, you know what? We just need some real rest right now for the body of Christ. And anyone can have it. I mean, if they want to come to Jesus, Jesus left this peace for everybody. But I just want to make sure that you have it tonight, that I have it, the people of God have it. So let's turn to John chapter 14. Verse 27. Now, this scripture, I come by it honestly, it got into my heart after my husband and daughter passed. I was teaching Sarah, my little seven-year-old. She was getting ready to go to school, and the night before, she started having a little difficult time. And I turned right to this scripture, and the Lord just buried it into my heart. Let me share it with you. It's nothing that you haven't heard before, but let's open it up tonight. John 14, 27, Jesus speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus says, now I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to my Father who sent me. But my peace, he made it personal. He says, I'm not giving you the peace of the world. I'm not giving you peace that came from my disciples. I am giving you my peace, his personal peace. Don't you love it when somebody gives you something personal of theirs? One time I went to a conference. It was called a Fresh Bread Conference with Tommy Tenney, when Tommy Tenney was at the height of his ministry with God Chasers. And before I left, he gave me his own private book that he was writing. He had put it all down. He gave me his private notebook, and his mother had given me her private prayer journal. And it just meant so much to me. And when I see this, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. And then he goes ahead and says, not as the world gives. So can I tell you tonight, the world does have a peace that they give, and we try to pick up on it. I mean, that's how the world lives. The world lives with their type of peace. He said, I don't give that kind to you. I give you my peace. And then he says, so let your heart not be troubled. Don't worry about it, because I have given you my personal peace. So let's talk about the peace of the world, the peace that the world gives. Does the world have peace? Yeah, there's a little peace there, but now it's a substitute. It's not the real thing. No, the world knows nothing about this kind of peace, because Jesus said, I give this peace to you, talking about those who belong to him. So the world only knows about the substitute peace, that is like their money and maybe entertainment or family. You know, as much as I love my grandchildren and my children, they can't substitute for Jesus's peace, because one day things may be good, the next day maybe not, because we live in a natural world. So if we are depending on circumstances, on how much money we have in the bank, are all the bills paid, how are the children doing, how's my marriage, so if we're depending on that, that's what the world does. See, so they have their peace. But Jesus says, if you want the real thing, there's only one place to get it, and you've got to come to me. Now, I can look at that and in a way feel bad for the world, because Jesus, when he talked about my peace, he said, it's not like the world has. So he was drawing a definite difference between the world's peace and his peace that he gave us. So as he begins to talk about that, you've got to look on this, because in my position and yours as well, we meet a lot of God's people, a lot of Christians that don't have his peace. They don't have the peace of God. Now, it's one thing for the world not to have it, but when the body of Christ doesn't have it, or the church doesn't have it, or the Christians don't have it, that is a sad, sad thing. And I hate that. I don't like that. I spend a lot of time praying for people, trying to get their peace back, counseling and talking about that. Because the world knows nothing about it, but we should know something about it, because Jesus said, I'm going away, but I gave it to you. Well, you say, Pastor, give me a good example. Well, I'm getting ready to give you an example. Most of you know the story of Martha and Mary. And so Martha was, listen, Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the dead, they were Jesus's best friends. I don't know that the Bible records. Now, it records companions and the disciples that followed Jesus. But as far as just good friends, it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he would go to their home when he came to town. The girls would cook for him and have him in and just treated him royally. And that's where he would go to rest. And so though Martha was a good friend with Jesus, she didn't have the peace that he gives. She didn't have any peace with him. Now, when you look at Luke chapter 10, you need to just read that chapter. It's really fun to get into that, because Luke 10, down toward the end, about verse 40, says Martha was just distracted. Jesus said that. Now, that's a New King James Version. But she was just too busy. And Jesus said she was distracted with much serving. And I can prove it to you by the very next words that she used. That she was so busy, and her words and what she said to Jesus proves it. Hear this. She says, Lord, do you not care that my sister is not helping me serve? Number one, she thinks Jesus doesn't care. Now, when you don't have the peace of God, you start thinking along those lines. Lord, do you not see what's going on? Do you see what's happening in my life? Lord, it's as though you don't even pay attention to me. You don't even know what's going on in my life. You will start talking that way when you don't have the peace of God. And then listen to what she said secondly to the Lord. Her best friend, she knew Jesus. And she knew what it was like to have him in her home. But she said, Lord, tell her to help me. Now, you don't want to go there, but that's what we do sometimes. She was telling him what to do. First of all, you don't care, Lord. Secondly, she says, tell her to help me. Have you ever told the Lord what he needs to do for you, and when he needs to do it, and how he needs to do it? Maybe you go to the mailbox tomorrow and there's nothing wrong with having faith, but if you tell him, put something in the mailbox for me tomorrow, don't worry, he knows how to do it. But if you don't have peace, then those are a couple of things that you'll resort to, is telling him what to do. And so Jesus comments to her, and he says, Martha, Martha. Now, when Jesus repeats something twice, that means he's really trying to bring it home. He's really trying to get your attention. And I don't know if you want Jesus to call your name twice like that when he's a little bit perturbed with you. And he says, Martha, Martha, one thing is needed. Just one thing, Martha. All you've got to do is just get this one thing. And he said, and Mary has gotten that one thing. Mary knelt down at the Lord's feet, and Mary took advantage of getting his peace. Let me turn over there for just a minute. I wasn't going to turn, but let me go to Luke 10:40. Luke 10:40. Wait for me just a moment. I just want to make sure I got it. He says, Martha, Martha, you're so worried and troubled about so many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her forever. Mary is going to have this peace because she came to the place that she knew she needed to go to get it. He said, there's only one thing, and that's the peace that you can get when you come with me. So learn to fellowship with him first. If you can at all do it in the morning, if you can't get with him early in the morning before everybody gets up, somewhere in your day, stop everything and just come alone with him. Because if you don't, you are going to empty out. It's just a given. It's what's going to happen to you. And then you're thinking, not only does Jesus not care, you'll start saying, nobody else cares. Nobody cares about me. And then you start trying to tell him what to do. And so you can tell who has a peace of God and who doesn't, listening to their words. So Mary took advantage of it. And you know what? We can too. But here's the thing. These things that Jesus taught sometimes are so very simple. They just get so simple that sometimes we just miss it. And he said, Martha's just this one thing. He said, she's chosen the good part. The good part what? Just spending time with me. While you're all distracted, now take advantage of me being here in your home. But now she had to get those dishes washed up. She had to get everything cleaned up. Listen, we get so smitten and distracted with life and the things we do, you just can't get too busy to sit at his feet and choose that one thing. Choose that good part. Now remember this, Jesus gave us his personal peace. It was his. And so therefore, we can only get it from him. Now it's his, but go to him and take advantage of it. Because it's really kind of dangerous to run around looking for this peace, but that's what's going to happen. Not only do your words give it away when you're empty and you have no peace, but you'll start running around looking for it. As the old country song said, looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, you'll start looking for peace in all the wrong places. Start looking, well, I don't have enough money. If I just had more money, I'd have peace. If I could just take a big vacation, I'd have peace. I remember one, he was a wonderful man of God. He and his wife had two beautiful girls. And he just said to me, he says, you know, if somebody would just put us up in a resort for about a year, he said, that's all I would need. And I'm thinking, who wouldn't like to be put up in a resort for a year? Are you kidding me? Life goes on, but that's where his thoughts were. I thought, my brother, you don't have the peace of God because you're looking for peace in all the wrong places. It's not about a resort. It's not about your next dollar. It's not about the things that you can find. So watch out when you start running around looking for peace here, there, and everywhere, or trying to find this person to give me my peace, or I want my wife. My wife does not make me happy. She doesn't give me my peace. My husband doesn't give me that peace. He just doesn't, make me happy. Well, I know things go on in marriages, but if you will quit looking to them, I promise you, and you will look to Jesus, he could turn those things around, and he does it by his Holy Spirit. So church, listen, this is why people run to drugs and alcohol and relationship after relationship. And they fall into all these addictions and all kinds of things because they just veer off a little bit. It's just not worth it because they might find the peace of the world and make yourself happy with some of these things in the world. Oh, some of the things of the world are, of course, they're fun. We all love entertainment. We all love a cruise. We all love the beautiful things. But you know what? They're temporary and they're actually empty. Until you get this one part. I mean, it could be anything. I mentioned earlier when my husband and daughter passed. But you know what? It was like being in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the night, the worst time of my life. But I can honestly tell you before God and many witnesses that I had more peace than I'd ever experienced in my entire life. You know why? Because my husband and I had already chosen the good part. And Jesus said, when you choose it, it won't be taken away. You can live with and you can live without. And Paul said, I've learned in all things to be content. How did he do that? With the peace that Jesus gives. Jesus' own personal peace. Remember that. It's his. It's personal. So Jesus is the only real peace. And he said, I give it to you, Martha. It's available to you, but looks to me like maybe you're not interested. But your sister Mary certainly is, because she's sitting right here at my feet getting all the peace that I'll give her. So, church, I just want to say shame on us if we get in that same condition and start looking and looking and looking, trying to get ourselves satisfied with something. So, you're here and you want to be, or you say, well, I'm here and I want to be over there and I live in the country, but now I want to live in the city. I live in the city. I want to live in the country. Some people are just never satisfied. I go there, but then I need to get back home and I dread going home. And then when I'm home, I want to go away. No peace. See, that's a sign that you don't have true peace. So nothing wrong with any of the having some good times. You can be a little distracted now and then, but make sure you get back to where the glory is, where the personal peace is. So you can't have that Mary syndrome. I mean, you'll just get distracted and you'll say, what's wrong with me? Well, you got the Martha syndrome, or you can have the Mary syndrome. You get the peace of God just sitting over there and choose him instead of choosing everything else. Well, listen, Mother Evans, one of my mentors of years ago, she used to tell me, honey, you can have as much of Jesus as you want. You can be as close to him as you want to be. And I don't know, maybe I was a little too young to really understand what she was saying. But you know what? I get it. I get it. And we can. You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. You can get as much of his peace as you want to have. You just got to go to him and get it. Just visit with him. If you don't, you'll forget about it. It's your choice. It's totally up to you. Now, when Jesus went away, that was some of his last words. He said, now I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. The New King James says, I'll send you a helper. And believe me, the Holy Ghost is a helper. He is a guide. He is the Spirit of truth. He is all powerful. He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of Jesus. He's the Spirit of truth. And he is here to help us and comfort us. And so how do we get that peace now? You say, well, Jesus went away and he took his peace. No, he said, I'm leaving it here for you. And it will be distributed by the help of the Holy Spirit, this helper, this comforter that I've sent you. So John 14:16, oh, I always love John 14:15 and 16 because it's all about the Holy Spirit. It's all about him. Whether you call him the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, the old days we always called him the Holy Ghost, but he's the same, the Spirit of God. Oh, in 14:16 in John, he says, now I will pray the Father, that means I will ask him, and he will give you another comforter or helper that he may abide with you forever. And he sent him. So the Holy Spirit has come to comfort us and to help us. And he says, and he'll be here with you forever. He'll stay with you. He's not going to leave you. Mary says, don't you care that she's not helping me? He knows that. He knows what you need. You don't have to tell him how to do it. He knows how he's going to do that too. But if you don't have peace, I can tell you right now, you're not comforted. And if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you, you're not going to have peace. You won't have the peace of God. So if you're wondering what's wrong with you, I would say, get to the feet of Jesus and just sit with him some. Just sit with him. You're just acting like Martha. If you don't have peace in your heart, you're just doing the Martha thing. So let me take you to the 17th verse. Listen to this. The Spirit of truth, whom the world, listen, here's the story about the world. Jesus speaking. The world cannot receive him because it doesn't see him or it doesn't know him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it doesn't see him, because the world's got to see everything. They live by sight. We live by faith, because they can't see him and they cannot hear him. They don't know him. But listen to what Jesus said. He had so much confidence in us. He had more confidence and more faith in us than we do in ourselves. It says, but you know him, Jesus said. You know him, the Holy Spirit. For he dwells with you and he will be in you. Jesus knew when he left, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. He said right now he's with you because I'm with you and he's in me. So for right now, the Holy Spirit's in you, but soon he's going to be in you. And then he said, I won't leave you orphans. I'm not going to leave you little orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. See, this is why the world can't have real peace. They don't have it because they don't know the Holy Spirit. They can't see him and they don't know him. But Jesus says, you know him. You know him. You know him because he dwells with you now. I'm walking with you now. And soon he's going to be in you. Somebody say amen. Yeah. He's in you. So Jesus said, you're not orphans. You belong to me. Okay, I'm going to close with this because this is just so huge. If you're taking notes, please write this down. Ephesians 3:19. When I tell you I'm closing with a biggie, this is it. This is so huge, almost hard to grasp. In Ephesians 3:19, it says, know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, Jesus left. See, and peace is a big thing because we're all, I mean, that's what we want above all things. That's what the world, the church, everyone in the world is seeking, the peace of God. The Middle East, they want peace. Thank God they're having some of it. Everybody wants peace. But now we go way out there, way beyond peace. And Paul said, oh, the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, is in you, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. What? Are you serious? The fullness of God, the creator, the one that created us, the one that brought you and your companion together, your husband, your wife together, that said families in order. I mean, he knew where your grandparents had to be. Your grandma was here. Your grandfather was there to get them on earth so that he could get your parents together. And so then he calls them to meet one day just so you could get here. And then he calls you to meet your husband. And you got here so your children could get here. And now your grandchildren are coming. I mean, God just knew how to set all this up. And he said, I put the fullness of God in you. The creator, God's all-powerful. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's everywhere. He knows all things. He's all-powerful. And he said, that's in you. What? We're all powerful. We're all knowing with my forgetfulness. Oh, the Holy Spirit said, I'm here to help you. I will help you. No, you have the fullness of God. All right, let's go a bit farther. Ephesians 4:13. It's all within these three chapters here in Ephesians. Ephesians 4:13. Then it goes a bit farther and says, be filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, this is almost too good to be true. This is some of my favorite stuff right here. It has held me when nothing else could hold me. When everything, like you're on sinking sand, the world's falling apart. If you can grasp this, it will hold you up. Be filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he just told us to be filled with the fullness of God. And now be filled with the fullness of Jesus. The one who died for our sins and healed our bodies, souls, and our spirit. That Jesus? The one that forgives and cleanses and washes? The one that's going to return for us? Mm-hmm. That one. So now he's talking about being full of the goodness of God, or the fullness of God, and being filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're filled with God, we take on his nature and his love. God is love. God is jealous. He's jealous of the spiritual things. And then when it says be filled with Jesus, then his healing virtue comes into us. His glory comes into us. His glory will be seen on us. And let me close with this, Ephesians 5:18. Woof. Let me wrap it up right here. Listen to this, 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine. That's what the world goes after for a little peace. Somebody says, well, I need a little wine to help me sleep at night. I need a little wine just to be sociable. Well, here's what the word says about it. Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. That means mental distraction. You've got a thought. When you're drinking wine, you say, I don't get drunk. Well, then why are you drinking it? What is your thought? It gives you peace? See, that's a fake peace the world has. What does that do for you? Helps you to sleep? No, you don't need it. The Holy Spirit helps us. It's not going to kill you to stay awake a little bit. Sometimes we have good sleep patterns and sometimes we have bad ones. Believe me, I know about that. But it's okay. If you don't sleep tonight, you'll sleep tomorrow night. But be not drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or mental distraction. But, here it comes, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. Be filled with the fullness of God, all power. Be filled with the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, healing, peace, glory, all the above, forgiveness, able to forgive and then able to take forgiveness, and then be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, when you're filled with the Spirit, He has His own language. Holy Spirit's so big, He has His own language. And so He says, I give you this language. And when you don't know what to pray, just pray in my Spirit. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. You start praying in tongues and you're praying things that drives the devil crazy. He doesn't know what you're praying about. So you take on God's nature. You take on Jesus' strength. You take on the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you put those three as one and one as three. You're going to get the peace of God that passes understanding. Paul said in Philippians, oh, that peace of God which passes all knowledge, it will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Man, if we ever needed the peace of God, we need it in 2020. This is how you get it. Go sit at the feet of Jesus somewhere in your day, every single day. Get your Bible. Read a piece of it. You don't have to read a whole chapter. Just read something in it. Just open it up to the Psalms. Read it. Read the book of John if you don't know how it all started. Read the book of John. Get yourself started. Can I pray with you tonight? You guys, thank you so much. I just want to tell you, especially Landmark, I love you guys so much. And to all the people that are watching from out of state, I appreciate you watching so much. I want to say hello to you, Sandy. You're always watching from Nevada. And so many of you all over. But the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine on you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. And give you peace in your home, in your heart, in your mind. Father, I thank you that tonight this word has spoken volumes. That Jesus, you will release peace into that troubled mind. Lord, that mind that is so noisy, they're hearing so many enemies' tactics against them. Lord, for the emotions and the stress and the one that just feels strange, I just pray right now the peace of God will come all over them like a helmet of peace, like a helmet of your blood. Oh, it's your peace, Lord. It passes understanding. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being at Landmark tonight. And don't forget, Sunday and Monday night, we're going to be praying over the election. And so we're going to be fasting and praying. We're going to have prayer on Sunday night at 6 and Monday night at 6. And it's going to be a liquid fast. We will start our liquid fast at Sunday at noon, Sunday at 12 o'clock. And we'll break the fast on Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Okay, so that's a liquid fast. So you can drink your liquid. But come and pray with us at 6 o'clock. I'm not sure that we're going to put it on Facebook, but we will pray. We're just going to have, listen, Holy Ghost prayer. So be there. Join us. Holy Ghost prayer Sunday night at 6 and Monday night at 6. Pray for the election. Listen, a vice president is so important. They're as important as the president. The Congress, the senators, the governors, they're all very, very important. So please pray for them. And again, if you haven't voted, please go vote in Jesus' name. I love you.